And go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. And that's where we'll be. We've been working our way through Galatians in chapter 5. And tonight, not Ephesians, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4 is where I want you to turn. But we've been going through the fruits of the Spirit. So Galatians, Ephesians is where we're going to be. We'll be those two passages, but Ephesians 5, verse number 22, or rather Galatians 5. I'm going to get on track here in just a minute. I'm going to figure it out. Turn somewhere in the Bible. That's what I want you to do, all right? Galatians 5 is the fruits of the Spirit. That's what we're working through, and it's verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24 then says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Is it verse 25 is really kind of the hinge. Like, if this is true in you, right, that you are in the Spirit. So if this is true in you, this ought to be true of you. That's what he's saying. If this is true in you, if the Spirit of God lives in you as a believer, then this ought to be true of you. This ought to come from your life. This ought to flow from your life. Well, what ought to flow from our life? Because if it's true in us, it ought to be true of us. But what ought to be true of us? Well, it ought to be true that we are men and women and a church and people and neighbors and co-workers and family members and friends full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then he says, against such there is no law, which is a way of saying these are not things that you can just legislate. This, you can't just say, go be loving. Now, I'm telling you, you better be loving. And if you're not loving, you're going to get in trouble. No, you can't do that, right? You can't just say, okay, fine, I decide I love you. You decide to love me. Okay, fine, we're good. Yeah. No, it's not something you cannot legislate. This is something that comes from you inwardly because of who is in you, the Holy Spirit of God, and because you know who God is. So this is true in you. If it's true in you, it will be true of you. So we spent the last few weeks, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We talked about patience last week. That was a terrible conversation about patience. Everybody's patience was getting tested. David's patience in the back, it was getting tested because Gabriel's patience up here on the platform was getting tested, right? Your patience was getting tested. Like, come on, the sermon's got to be over by now. You know, my patience this week was tested. We were crossing back into the United States, and we were sent to like the secondary, which is like where they send criminals. When you cross back into the border, they saw Julio in my car. They were like, send him over there, you know. We sat there for an hour. I looked at Brother Julio. I said, why are we sitting here for an hour? He said, patience. You talked about patience. You know, I'm never talking about patience again. That's the one sermon you'll hear from me about patience. If you want to see it, you'll have to go to the archives. All right. So we come. Get off patience. We're done with patience. We're going to talk today about gentleness. Gentleness. The word gentleness here literally means to be useful, to be good, to be helpful, to be suitable. To be useful, to be good, to be helpful, to be suitable. It's really the same root word that comes from the word kindness. Kindness is the same root word that comes from the word kindness. So with that in mind, turn to Ephesians in chapter 4. All right, so Ephesians chapter 4. And I got to get my illustrations out here. Hold on. We're walking over here. Gabriel, you still in here, my man? Or are you still alive? That's what I want to know. Gabriel, you in here? There you are. Come on, my man. It wouldn't be the same sermon without you. All right, stand here, bud. Good job. Stand up here toward the front so everybody can see you. All right, hold it. Just right there. And hold it. Don't dance with it. Just hold it. Okay. Let's see. Then we had love, joy, peace, right? I forget which one peace was. Here it is, peace. Where's Reuben at? Reuben, you in here? Ruben's not in here today? All right, Aaron, come on. Aaron, good job. You look just like Reuben. You're just like a smaller version of Reuben. Come stand over here. But you better behave like Reuben does, all right? Mom said you're going to get in trouble if you don't behave. All right. Where's Jordan at? Come on, my man. Just take your time, however long you want to take. Everybody, there you go. Everybody's looking at you. All right. And then tonight, kindness. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Kindness. You want to help me? All the way from the balcony? Come on, run. You got to run, though. Don't fall down the steps. If you fall down the steps, I'm sorry. The church is not liable for any medical bills. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4. Gabriel, slide over. Get you as far away from me as I can. All right, right over here. Ephesians 4. Good job. Right there. We don't want to see your face. Good. Ephesians chapter 4. Aren't they great? Aren't they great helpers, right? Go ahead. If the adults in the room, if you keep falling asleep, I'm going to bring you up here, make you stand. I'm watching. You shouldn't have stayed up and watched a football game. You should have got a nap. All right, Ephesians chapter 4 then, verse number 30. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, so the Apostle Paul now, the same guy who wrote the letter of Galatians, wrote the letter of Ephesians. And the word grieve not the Holy Spirit is a similar analogy to walk in the Spirit. It's a similar analogy to the fruit of the Spirit, right? So he's keeping that same line. He's saying you can grieve. It's possible to grieve or hurt or neglect or wound. There's another passage later on that he says it's possible to quench. The idea of quench is that you'd have this like campfire and you take a big bucket of water and you pour it onto the fire and then it quenches the fire. It's possible to quench the Spirit. So that's what he's saying. It is possible to grieve or hurt or wound the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, grieve not. Make sure that you don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Be sure that you are not grieving him. All right, verse number 31. This would be how we do that. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right, so several things about kindness, then we'll go home. First, the explanation of kindness. Kindness is love with shoe leather. Kindness is love with shoe leather. It means putting love to work. It's not just sentiment. It's not just a feeling. It's not just ooey gooey gushy, okay? It's not just some passing kind of fleeting moment. Kindness is love with shoe leather. Adrian Rogers said it this way: kindness is your needs met through my deeds. Your needs met through my deeds. So kindness in its most basic and its most simple understanding or definition is being practically generous with your time, with your money, with your talents, with your resources. It's just being practically generous with your words, with how you treat someone, with what you say to someone, right? It's interesting that all these, verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, let it all be put away from you. It's interesting. He doesn't say, and murder, and adultery, and lying, and fight. Why doesn't he name those as the sins that grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Right, because those are obvious. Everybody in the room go, yeah, that's bad. That murdering, that's bad. That lying, yep. No. But evil speaking? Oh, that's a lot easier. Oh, does it really mean evil speaking? The word evil speaking literally means, here's the definition, ready? Evil speaking. Which means speaking evil. You could turn it around another way and be evil speaking, or you can flip it the other way and say speaking evil. It's the same, right? It's the idea. It's interesting that he talks about, when he talks about being kind, he's talking about the hidden man of the heart. Isn't that interesting? He's talking about the hidden man of the heart. Why? This is why. This is over and over when Jesus talks in the Gospels, when Jesus is delivering a sermon, there are very few times when Jesus is interacting with someone that he calls someone out for their adultery, or he calls someone out for their murdering, or he calls someone out for their lying. There's very few times he ever does that. But do you know who he does always call out? The people who think they got it all together. The people who I don't murder, got that down. I'm good. I'm very righteous. I'm very religious. I don't murder. Right. But what about the bitterness category? Like, I understand you didn't murder anybody this afternoon, but was there evil speaking this afternoon? Was there malice? Was there hatred towards someone this afternoon? Right, so, yeah, the murdering, that would certainly grieve the Holy Spirit of God too, but this isn't what the Apostle Paul is calling us out on. Why? Because he knows that we're good church people, and good church people know better than to murder someone. But what about being bitter towards someone? What about being hostile towards someone? What about hanging on to hurts as someone did to you? What about speaking evil of someone? Isn't that interesting? And so explanation of kindness then is your needs met through my deeds. It's reaching down into your pocket and pulling out some cold, hard cash and giving it to someone because they need it. Kindness. It's practically meeting the needs of someone else in your life. So the explanation of kindness then is your needs met through my deeds, or love with shoe leather. Love with shoe leather. That's the explanation of kindness. Number two, the extent of kindness. So how much kindness should we show? Look at verse 31. Let all, you should circle this word, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, I'm not going to name any ladies' names. They might hang out toward the front of the church on Sunday morning, but they were clamoring this morning. I walked up, I go, wow. I walked up, they all went, I said, were you guys talking about me before I walked up? Because I really feel like you were talking about me. They're like, oh, no, Pastor, not you. Yeah, right. I turn around, clack, right? I'm not, they might sit in this section over here. I'm not gonna say any names. Clamor, evil speaking. Notice this. Be put away from you with all malice. Let it be put away from you with all malice. The word all used twice there. Literally, the beginning and the end. All bitterness, all malice. We must get rid of the anger in order to be kind. We must get rid of the bitterness in order to be kind. We must get rid of the clamor and the evil speaking in order to be kind. We must get rid of the malice or the resentment, right? Like the looking skeptically at someone and what someone's doing and what someone's saying, well, what they mean by, and I'm sure that they meant, and he probably knew, and she probably told her, and they know this, and right, that kind of like skeptical spirit. It's this malice and clamor and evil speaking. It says, let all this go. Get rid of all this. Put all this away. Let all this be taken away from you. And if it is not being taken away, and all of it, if it is not all being taken away, then you are not being kind. See, so this is how I am. Like, I don't want to be like full on, completely bitter towards someone. I just want like 25% bitterness toward the people that I don't like, right? I mean, we all know 100% bitter, that would be bad. But 25% bitter, can't I just be a little mad at them? Because so we'll do this with our kids. My kids will do something. I'll go, that's it. You're in trouble. I'll get on to them. 10 minutes later, you guys do that. It always bothers me. 15 minutes later, man, why do you guys always do that? We did this last week. We did this week. 35 minutes later, it just seems like we can never stop. And Amanda goes, okay, you already punished them. It's over. And I'm like, I'm not ready to be over it yet. I'm not ready. You've got to give me more time. That's what he's saying. No. It's got to all be put away. It's got to all go away. Yeah, but I'm not ready for it to all go away. Well, then you're not practicing kindness. And you're not practicing kindness. That's what he's saying. Notice where kindness is then expressed. That's number three. Notice where kindness is expressed. Look at verse 32. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Now, that's a very interesting command from the Apostle Paul. That kindness is found in the heart. It's interesting because kindness is seen or felt or extended through deeds, but kindness is found in the heart. You see, how can the Apostle Paul command someone, be kind in your heart? Isn't that a weird commandment? Be kind in your heart. Well, we think of commandments like things that we should do, right? Things that we should avoid or things that we shouldn't avoid. Things like don't murder, don't do this, right? Give to the needy. Take your hands, stick them in your pocket, pull out some money, and give it to someone in need. Because we think of commands in regards of list or to do or like a checklist, something you can physically see, something you can physically give, some sort of material possession that you can actually transfer. But when he talks about kindness, he talks about kindness as being found in a place that no one else can see except God. Except God. Isn't this what 2 Samuel teaches us? That man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You see, so if you are giving or serving or using your talents and your resources and your abilities, if you are doing those things on the outward, but you are not right with God in your heart, then it is not Christian kindness. It's morality or it's civility, but it is not Christian kindness. Christian kindness begins in the heart. Tender-hearted, he says. Tender-hearted. It is quite possible to have everything right on the outside, but be wrong on the inside. It is quite possible to have everything painted up exteriorly, but be far from God in your heart. That's what he's saying. It's possible to hold this, can I see this? Give me that. It's possible to hold this sign of kindness. Ta-da, I'm so kind. But inside, it's very possible. Was I guilty of that today? Were you guilty of that today? I go, okay, I'm here I am, I'm at church, but I'm happy to be here, and I'm going to be kind, and hi, how are you doing? It's handshaking time. The preacher said shake someone's hand, so I don't even know why we shake hands. We just pass germs all the way through the whole church, shaking hands like this. I see, it's possible to do everything on the outward appearance, but be far from God in your heart. It is not possible to be right with God in your heart, but far from Him on the outside. Do you understand how the reverse works? It's possible to just paint up the outward man, to just paint up the exterior, be far from God in your heart, but it is not possible to be right with God in your heart and it not show up in your kindness or in your patience or in your love or in your self-control or with your joy. It is not possible that if you are right with God in your heart, it will show up on the outward. This is what he's saying. These are not things you can legislate. These are things that are just true of you because of who lives in you. And if who is living in you is not being grieved or is not being quenched, or if you are walking with him in the way that you should, you're keeping step, you're keeping time. If that is happening, this will be true of you exteriorly. Kindness is expressed in your heart then. You ever met a genuinely kind person? Like when you walked away from them, there was nothing really that you could put your finger on, but when you walked away from them, you were just like, man, that person was so kind. Man, she took time to listen, and she genuinely kind. And you say, well, what was it about them that was so spectacular? I don't know. I can't really say. It was just, you know, they were just kind. That is when you know that what is true in you is being lived out through you. When you stop and think, it really is quite remarkable that the Apostle Paul would say, this has to happen in you. This is commanded to happen in you in order to be true of you. So the expression of kindness, it is found in your heart. By the way, that's the same place that bitterness lives. It lives in your heart. That's the same place malice lives. It lives in your heart. That's why malice and bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking, that's why it has to go. Because it can't coexist with evil. And it will not coexist with those things. It's expressed. Next. Second to last, all right? Next. The example of kindness. Look at verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And then there's this phrase, even as God. That phrase, even as God, it literally can be translated just like God, who for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So what he's doing there is he's giving us an example. Like he's making a stark contrast. That's what he's doing. He's giving us this contrast. Just like God was kind to you, just like it cost God something towards you, just like God did not give Jesus begrudgingly to us, but that he sent him willfully to die in our place and give us the forgiveness of sins, just like God did that willfully for us, that is what we should be doing for someone else. Well, how far does that go? Well, how far did the love of God go? How kind was God to you? That's how kind you should be to someone else. Yeah, but God didn't have my neighbor. God didn't have my boss. God isn't married to him. And he's going, God isn't married to her. But the example is still the same. Just like God was kind to you, so you ought to be kind to someone else. I would argue to the degree that you understand God's kindness to you is the degree that you will show the kindness of God to someone else. Right? To the extent that you understand. Like, so if you in your mind, if you are self-righteous enough to think, well, God wasn't kind to me. I mean, I got here all by myself and I had good upbringing. I made a lot of right decisions and I chose right and they chose wrong. If that's what you think, there's probably your kindness to other people is not very good. But as you understand how kind God was to you, to the degree, to the depth that you understand God's kindness to be true in your own life is the degree that you will show that same kindness to everyone else. There's the example then, is the example of Christ. First, his kindness seen in two things is what he calls for. His kindness seen in his forgiveness and his kindness seen in his love. His kindness seen in his forgiveness, forgiveness from God, but also then his kindness seen in his love, the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me, which is like it ties me up, it binds me up. It holds me hostage. Like, there are a lot of things I'd like to say, but I'm tied up by the love of God. You treated me awfully. There's a lot of things I want to treat you awfully, but you know what? I'm constrained by the love of God. I'm putting away malice. I'm putting away bitterness. I'm putting away wrath. I'm putting all those things away. Last one, okay? Verse 31, the last one. Look at the effect. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The verb is passive in verse number 31. To be put away. To be put away. It could also literally be translated, and in some places is translated, let it be taken away. Let it be taken away. Okay, so if bitterness and malice and wrath and anger and clamor, if it is going to be taken away, well then how is it taken away? And who takes it away? So if it's not going to reside in me, if it's not going to be inside of me, but I'm going to be full of these things, these fruit, this fruit, then how is all these other things, how are they taken away? Well, the answer is they are taken away through the understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he left heaven, came to this earth, lived a perfect sinless life, then died an atoning death, and then raised gloriously from the grave. So your understanding of what God did for you when he sent his son to die in your place, that is how he took your bitterness away. That is how he took the wrath. That is how he took your anger. That's how he took the evil speaking. You say, well, why shouldn't I be angry? Why shouldn't I be bitter? You don't know how bad my life is. You know how hard things were for me. You don't know, I deserve to be mad at him or her for the way they treated me. Right? But what did Christ deserve? What did Christ deserve? He didn't deserve a cross. He didn't deserve a Roman scourging. He didn't deserve a crown of thorns. He didn't deserve nails. He didn't deserve his back ripped open and his face ripped, his beard ripped off. He didn't deserve those things. And yet, what did Christ do on our behalf? He took it away. So that we didn't have to be given over to bitterness, and we didn't have to be angry, and we didn't have to have evil speaking, and we didn't have to respond in the flesh, and we could be patient, and we could be joyful, and we could be loving, and we could be kind, and we could show that in our lives each and every day. It says, so the individual who stands and says, no, I'm not going to be kind to him. He treated me poorly. Right, but how did we treat Christ? No, I'm not going to say nice words about them because they didn't say nice words about me. Right, but what did we say about Christ? No, I'm not going to be patient with them. They have one chance, three strikes, you're out. It's a dog-eat-dog world. If you can't cut it, then you're just, no. Yeah, but how did Christ treat us? This is what he's pulling us back to, and he's pulling us back to. Listen, for your Christianity to flourish, for the fruit of the Spirit to bloom and to blossom in your life, you must have a grasp and a hold on the gospel. That kindness comes out of Christ. It comes from Christ. Patience comes from Christ. Peace comes from Christ. Joy comes from Christ. Love comes from Christ. Christ is the goal. Christ is the standard. It's all coming from him and working in me. I don't have to be angry towards someone who treated me poorly. Why? Because Christ went to the cross and he died for the sins of the whole world. I don't have to get then. I don't have to settle the score. Why? Because there is a great and just judge who judges all men righteously. And everyone will stand in front of that judge one day, and they will answer to God for all they've done and all they've said. And God is a far better judge than I could ever be. So I don't have to set the record straight. I have to prove myself right. I just leave it in the hands of God. And I'll be kind to my neighbor. And I'll be kind to my fellow church member. I'll be kind to my sister. And I'll be kind to my coworker. And I'll be kind to the person in front of me and the person behind me. And I can still be kind. Why? Because of Christ. Because of Christ. That's what he's saying. That's what he's arguing for. And to the degree that you understand the depth, the weight, the significance, the patience, the joy, the love, the kindness that God showed you, to the degree that you embrace that and let it sink down into your soul, is the extent that you'll show that in someone's life. What I don't want you to hear is I don't want you to hear me say this. They deserve for you to forgive them. Because what he did to you, what she did to you, what they said about you, you're right, they probably don't deserve. He doesn't say be kind for their sake. He says be kind for God's sake. It's not because they deserve it, because they probably don't. But be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindness. Your needs met through my deeds. Is this a fruit that is abounding to your account? Is this a fruit that is abounding to your account? And I hope so. I want it to abound in my account. And I hope you have the same desire and the same want. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we?